Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show.
Hello, everyone.
Self-realization in the inner child, part 14. This is where we're at today. And it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. I am with my beautiful cohorts. That is Francois Guerland and Nadine Searle. And we are back with you for another wonderful conversation, enlightening conversation about the inner child and the codependency cycle. So over the last several episodes, we talked about the, you know, our inner child. And Francois, you brought us the adopted child. And what were the terms again? Take us through it really quick again.
Yes. That was the wounded child, the one who really has been victim of trauma at some stage of his evolution or her evolution. Then the other one is the adapted child. It is the child who has learned through, I would say, poor education, but that's the case of most of us. And this is nothing against our parents, but this is due to, I would say, society way of thinking. This child, which is always in us, has learned that love is something you have to buy through good behavior, performance, doing as you are told, etc. And this child will do everything it can to get love, and we are going to see the consequences of that in a moment. And then, of course, there is the magic child. This one is not much to say about. This is this absolute star which is in every one of us, but which this star can be sometimes stifled or hidden behind the other two children, you know, who may appear first whenever something stimulates us. And so that prevents us from manifesting the beauty, the spontaneity, the vulnerability, the joy, the creativity, especially, which is in us. And the source of that is this magical child, which we all have, but as I say, sometimes a little bit hidden. We will see all that.
Yes, wow. Isn't it incredible just, Nadine, listening to Francois, you know, break it down again everything we've been talking about around, you know, the love that we haven't gotten as inner children, or we haven't made space for, or haven't given ourselves, you know, that opportunity to love that inner child the way without having to earn it, you know, that's what you just said. That's always a wow. It's like, because when you hear the truth, it's so profound. It's wow.
It is, isn't it? And it's so interesting, isn't it, that how that affects us in our day-to-day life. And until we realize that, like you say, that self-realization, we just carry on, don't we? But we can change. And that's the wow, isn't it, as well, that we can change that.
Yes. And with a little bit of practice, we learn to recognize these three children in us. And the wounded child is very easy. You know, say suddenly you lose all your energy. Something is happening to you. Someone tells you something, and you just lose it all. I mean, you just either you go in a terrible anger, or you become depressed, or an excessive sadness, or all this kind of thing. Usually, this is a sign of an unhealed trauma. That's why I said last time, the wounded child needs to be healed. And we do that using what we call rescue mission. There are many, many different ways. And thank God there are people whose job it is to help that. And there are very few people whose job is to help the other one, which is the adapted child and its consequences, which are the codependency cycle we are about to talk about.
Yeah,
Yeah, and that's, yes, exactly. So today's topic is exiting the codependent cycle. And I mean, this is a huge topic, so I know we're going to break this down in several shows. So Francois, really take your time. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate your wisdom that you're sharing with us here. So, you know, exiting the codependent cycle. So I'm sure you have a lot to share. I don't want us to feel rushed that we have to rush through this, because that's an illusion.
Yes. Well, yes, to a degree. Yes, absolutely.
Let's be real. So let's get into it. So take us straight to your talk.
Yes. So most people, many people at least have never heard of the codependency cycle, but a vast majority of people know it and live it on a daily basis. So that's why I'm going to explain a little bit what it is. Now, let's imagine, like, as a little child, you have learned to be good. And if you were not good, or if you had bad marks at school, or if you didn't behave the way you were expected through whoever it was in charge of looking after you and educating you, you were expected to receive your love from them. And it didn't come because it had to be deserved. So if you were behaving poorly, this love was not coming, or at least that's the way you perceived it. You were a bad boy, a bad girl, mommy was upset with you, ashamed of you, this kind of thing. And because we all need, and we are starved of love, actually, because where we come from before birth is a place of unconditional love. And then you arrive in this funny body that you have difficulties to control, and on top of that, you have to buy your love through doing things which are not natural to you. I mean, it's just like, a child wants to dance, make noise, break things, and yeah, but no, you can't. So, and then now, after a few years, if you keep doing that, they will put you under drugs. You know the story. But many, many of us, what has happened is that we have actually learned to be good boys and good girls. We have actually learned to do whatever it took to get our parents or people in charge attention. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? By trying to figure out what they want and what they need, which obviously is even more difficult when you have somebody dysfunctional as a parent, like an alcoholic. I mean, it's impossible to make sense of the behavior of somebody who is under heavy drugs or things like that. But you try. Very often these people develop a very sharp mind because they are very sensitive to absolutely anything which is happening. And
Can I come in? Because you're speaking to my childhood.
Yes.
Speaking. Well, I'm actually feeling a little bit sensitive for myself right now, because you're speaking at it from the higher wisdom part. And so I know that I had that alcoholic mother.
Right.
I had an absent father. Yes. I had an alcoholic mother. I had an absent father. And I was the person that was running the household. I was in charge. So basically, I put my emotional needs aside as a child. They didn't get met because...
Exactly.
I was speaking, I had to address that sensitivity that you were talking about, because at no point or another did I know what was getting ready to happen today.
Yes, exactly. And this is how many, many people, and it doesn't have to be extreme cases, you know, I mean, I have had a very strong tendency to codependency. And apart from my father's death, which was a major event when I was 11, but apart from that, I was what many people would call a functional family, you know, but I still had to deserve my love. And so what's happening is that as you grow up, the tendency is to become what we call a rescuer. In other words, to enter the codependency cycle. You will learn to do things for others, to be always present, to be always available, to exhaustion. But that is the way where you subconsciously hope to be loved, to be appreciated. And codependent people, when they are receiving a bad thing, like a bad remark, or so they are told they were trying hard to help everyone, but it didn't work, and they get really told off. It is a tragedy for them. This is horrible, because that means that their inner child will not be loved. So what's going to happen is that they will keep loving, keep giving. They end up very often very, very well appreciated by people around them, their colleagues, their family, because they are just always giving. But what's happening when you are always giving and with no discrimination? Somebody's asking, you're doing. That's it. So it can go very far into big mistakes, actually. But without going into these extremes, what's going to happen is there comes a moment where you have had enough. You are the one who is carrying the family. You are the one who is making everybody work, receiving from you. You do their work for them very often, and you don't feel the gratitude. And what is even worse is whenever you get this gratitude from people, and people say appreciation to, wow, you're really fantastic as a person. It's amazing what you've done. Even when that comes, it's not good enough, because it doesn't touch your inner child.
Yeah.
So basically you say, well, they are saying that, but they don't really mean it, or you are happy for 3 minutes, and then you think of the other one who hasn't told you how nice you are, or all these kids now who don't get a like on their Facebook post or things like that. That is affecting their codependent, that is affecting their adapted child. What's going to happen when it's too much, you enter a victim state? You don't have the energy to give anymore. It's too much. I can't go any longer. And you just, and that can go as far as depression, or anyway, there is a depressive time. Now what's going to happen is that the people who are used to feeding from your life and your energy, they run away like rats because their food is not available anymore. They don't realize how wrong you feel. They don't, and they have not been used to help. They are helped people. They are not helping people. So they run away. So you receive even less. If anything, you receive heavy criticism for not being the person you were usually, what's wrong with you, and so on. That's happening very often in couples. The codependency cycle happens in couples. Now, are you going to stay your victim all your life? Some people do. But no, what's going to happen most of the time is that you are going to become suddenly have had enough. You become the perpetrator. And then you are going to do something wrong. You're going to scream at them. You are going to break the dishes. You are going to do something crazy, something to, in a way, subconsciously take revenge for the pain that they have given you, because that's how it feels. It's all happening on the inside, but we feel it coming from the outside. And then the tragedy starts, because your rescuer, the one who wants to be loved, not only now has been very naughty because, they have broken something or they have done something bad, but they are not helping anymore. They are not helping. And they are making people from whom they expect to receive all this love, they are making them suffer. So the guys run away even more. Can you imagine that? So then they feel guilty. And guilt is the very best thing to take you up back to the rescuer. And then they will try harder to help, to serve, to do everything for everyone, because they need to be forgiven, they need to be loved, etc. Now, because they are trying so hard, they will become exhausted faster. They will go back into the victim faster. They will, the feelings will be so extreme that they will go back in the perpetrator faster, and they will do something bigger, something more dangerous. And then they will go back to the rescuer out of guilt, and here we go. And that turns and turns, and it becomes worse and worse and worse. Okay? But many people have ways out. And there are three ways out, which I would call them the classical ways out. Yes, go ahead, Cornelia.
So do you have a question, Nadine? Is something coming to mind that you want to ask?
Do you know, I'm very interested to find out the ways out. I'm glad you've come to that. But actually, yes. You're right. It's that I can so relate to everything you're saying and see that pattern in myself and so many others. And it's really just, I'm amazed at how eloquently you put it, because actually, if we could only realise that, then we know what we're doing. But we don't, do we? And that's the sadness of it, isn't it? That we don't realise what we're doing. And that destruction, like you say, that cycle that we can't get out of. Oh, it's terrifying, really, isn't it? So I can really, really relate, and I'm sure lots of other people will.
Many, many people relate to this. Thank God there are lots of outside things which temper that. You know, there's a fear of police, which will prevent you to be gently in the perpetrator. There is education, which will make you, you know, fake it if you cannot make it. And all these kind of things. But inside you just, you know, something is wrong. Something is never satisfied. Something is not making it. And because we live in a civilization which is not used to look on the inside, everything which happens, it's always due to someone who has treated me this way or that way. And therefore, we are not looking inside. And our adopted child is getting poorer and poorer and poorer. Okay.
Yeah. Why we're talking about this, because not only to support you, the listener, to work with your inner child and go into this work, but also to the listener that has young children now.
Yeah.
Because right now, between the ages of 0 and 7 is when all of this gets formed.
Absolutely.
And so it's important that, you know, that this awareness is, you know, worked on. So that
very, very important for parents to completely dissociate a child and its value from the actions. In other words, love is something which is given unconditionally. That doesn't mean that you must never punish a child. This is a totally misunderstanding that. But that means that first, I love you dearly. Let's look together at what you have done. This is not on. That cannot happen. You understand with me that we cannot let that go for free. You see, so the value of the child is left completely intact. Actually, the child is asked to evaluate his actions, and he will be the first one to say, yeah, well, you know, that was not good. At first, the child will usually tell you, oh, it was because of her or this. But at the end of the day, you know, this is really the occasion for a beautiful conversation between child and parents. And of course, I know there are exceptions, 1 million exceptions, but that's what it's all about. But let's go back to our codependency cycle. You are absolutely right, Cornelia. This is due to education. Most of the problem of the adopted child come from that time. And school, a lot is coming from school.
Yeah, and so I know, take a breath, Francois. I just, I'm loving the conversation. And you're going to take us to how do we get out, and that's perfect. But I realized today when we started the show that I did not talk about our sponsor. So I have to bring the attention and gratitude to our beautiful sponsor, Susan Axelrod. And you can find out more about Susan and her work is whatwillyourlegacybe.com. And she's the sponsor of the Cornelia Stephanie Show, this particular series, which we so appreciate. She's also on YouTube, where she puts out videos every single day about how to stay in your confident zone. And so you can look her up on Susan Axelrod YouTube. Thank you, Susan, for your sponsorship. We appreciate you so much. And now let's carry on and go deep into how do we get out of the codependency cycle.
That's right. Okay, well, so I'm going first and very briefly, because it's not very interesting, to talk about the classic ways out, which you see in society. The first one is the most typical, is we get stuck in the victim. In other words, we are in resignation, we've become a martyr. You know, that's it. my life is about suffering and that's it. And can you imagine the amount of joy and creativity which comes out of that? Nothing. But you know what? At least it's not, these people are not dangerous. You know, they go into, you know, and we know so many of them. So there are people who have left the codependency cycle through the victim. Others, it's a bit more tricky. Others say, well, now I have understood. There is no way anyone in this world will love me. This is absolutely horrible. People are awful. I live in a world which is hostile, and I'm going to take revenge. So they get stuck in the perpetrator. And this is, if you go into the extreme, that is violence, that is terrorism. And there is a lot of victim thinking behind terrorism. If you go into it, you realize that. Or it will have to be a violent, very violent suicide. I mean, something really, really violent. And they can stay there. Not good place to be. There is one which is, I would say, less tricky, but it's not my favorite. Neither is people stay stuck in the rescuer, and very often I call that the religious exit. You know what? This is a land of suffering, but God will look after me. So when I die, I will have the reward for everything I have done. And you know what? I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to keep doing. And too bad if they don't get it. Now these people can remain functional. They keep helping, and they will get their reward. One day, and that's it. So there are people like that, and they are kind of functional, but they are not blossoming. Now, what is the best exit? And that's the one I'm proposing to you today. The best exit is you have a rescuer. A rescuer needs somebody to rescue. A rescuer needs somebody to help. Who is there next to you, inside you, who needs to be rescued? Your inner child, your adapted child. So you are going to give time, energy, especially love, unconditional love to this child. And as we said last time, it's not by looking in the mirror and saying, you are so beautiful, you are so great. That doesn't work. It's just take your teddy bear, do something, and go inside yourself. Imagine this child in front of you and say, look, whatever you are living, whatever you are doing, at school they didn't want you to dance. Now I want you to dance. And just allow that to be, allow this child to express themselves. They didn't want you to sing. Now you get to sing, etc. So the rescuer looks after the child. The victim, still there, the victim actually, who is, I would say, nearly the core of the child, the victim has one force. They are the only one out of these three who know how to ask for help. The rescuer doesn't ask for help. The rescuer is helping, is not asking for help. And the perpetrator is busy breaking something, is not going to ask for help. Mm. The victim can do that. So that is a very useful thing to be doing, is to say, okay, now I understand, I need help. Let me get help. And this help can come, of course, from the outside, from a therapist, or from the inside. Yes, I have all this knowledge about the codependency cycle. I'm going to put it to work now, and let's be with this child. And whenever you are stuck in the victim child, it's okay, because you know, we talked about that last time, you have all the resources inside you. You have loving parents who are part of your soul. We are always with you. In other words, there is no excuse for this child to be abandoned, to be left like that. And what's going to happen to a perpetrator? He's going to have a very, very important role. First one, control the rescuer. I say, no, sorry, this guy wants you to go and fix his garage door. No, not today. You will help him another moment, but no, today we don't feel very well. We're tired. We are looking after the child. Okay? So that's very important, the perpetrator do that. And he's a protector now. He's not a perpetrator. He's becoming a protector. He's a protector of the child. He's also the one who is going to do something that in this lot only he knows how to do. Say no. To say no to the rescuer and to say no to the outside people requesting things. Say, I love you dearly. Have you seen how difficult it is to say no with love?
Oh, yeah.
We have to find excuses not to go and help this person. That's a sign of codependency. You don't need any explanation. You don't need to go out of your way and tell these people, explain to them, you know, why you are not doing it. You don't feel it. That's an enough reply. I cannot help you, and I don't have to explain to you. You don't even need to say that to them. I don't feel it today. So he learns how to say no. And that's it. And so what's going to happen is that as this is happening, the inner child becomes happier. As the inner child becomes happier, you get more energy. As you get more energy, you have more love to give. As you have more love to give, you are going to be able to give love, not just help. You know, the codependent gives help, but very often is resentful for this help deep inside. Well, I'm doing that because she wants it, and you know I have no other choice. That's what they do. Now, what's going to happen is that love is pouring out of you, pouring everywhere. You are going to, yes, be able to give because you are radiating to the outside, because your priorities are in place. So the outside world, your family, your colleagues, the world around you will benefit of a balanced, healthy, dynamic, giving, but not overgiving colleague who knows his measure. And is a perfect example for them, because there are so many people who have to learn to say no. And there are other people who have to relearn to say yes, the one who stays stuck in the perpetrator. They are the ones who need the most love, actually, you know, the ones who are not able to give it anymore. And that is the exit. So let me say that clearly, the codependent starts looking after the inner child. And if they're saying, somebody tells them it's selfish, or they say to themselves selfish, it is not selfish. This is the most generous thing you have to do for yourself and for other people around. And people who have a happy, balanced inner child are a benediction, a blessing for everyone around. So once you have done that, that is the main point. The rescuer starts to rescue your inner child. The inner child, if necessary, will ask for help and rest, you know. No, today we are not fixing the neighbor's garage. We are resting. That's what we are doing. And the perpetrator is saying no, and he's become the protector. He's protecting the child and telling the rescuer, no, today you are not going out. You're looking after this child. Or if you are going out, it's to do something the child wants you to do. And then you'll be fine. Then you'll be happy. So I hope it's clear. What I can tell you, it works. It works wonders, absolute wonders.
Yeah, it's clear. And I think what I would like to do is bring this particular conversation back to questions and answers next time.
Yeah.
And because I think it's helpful that we help people identify the perpetrator. I think that one is the one that is the destroyer, the saboteur, you know, a sabotaging.
Yeah.
And yes. I think it's important. You said so many great things. We're out of time. And so we've taken all this amazing wisdom in, and what a wonderful, delightful conversation, Francois. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank our audience. I want to thank you, Nadine, for being
here. Thank you. Yeah.
And thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much.
I just would like to make a point. Yes, it's important to meet the perpetrator, to know the perpetrator, but the first one you have to identify yourself is the rescuer. This is the one with the source of all the problems. Perpetrator is a consequence. You have your rescuer under control. And the one who has become the protector is the one who is going to do that. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
Don't fight about your aggressive tendencies, because that doesn't work.
Right.
The perpetrator doesn't like to be told off. Doesn't work. And it's true on the outside, and it's true on the inside. Look at your rescuer, identify it, and then the child. look at the chat. I just wanted to make that very, very clear.
Yeah. It's very clear. Yeah. And thank you for that. Thank you, everybody. There. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see
thank
you next
you
time.
Thank you so much. Next time, definitely lots more information. There's going to be next time. So come and join us again, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Cornelia. Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you.